All right, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to KBIS. Can you guys believe it? In person? How's everybody loving the weather? Yes, I like the weather. So you like the weather, so that's three of us. We're good. See? 4, 5, 6, we're moving right along. I like it. We're the cold weather gang right here. Cold weather girls and guys. Whichever works, right? So, welcome to the DMM Talks Lounge. I don't have my counterpart here today. This is the Design Milk by Madenas Talks Lounge. I'm Madenas. I think Design Milk's still asleep. She's coming from California, so she needs a little extra time to wake it up, but that's okay. We will wake it up for her. So, I'm really excited that you guys could be here today, that you kind of braved all the little obstacles that have kind of come our way in the last couple years. And it's good to kick off a real show. And we're going to do that right now with our first conversation, which will be led by Nicole Heimer, who's around here somewhere. There she is. But first, a quick sponsor message, because without our sponsor, Signature Kitchen Suite right here, we're a whole lot of nothing. Jim Hirschman, I will let you take it away. And you have a little video playing for us too, right?
Behind me. Good morning, everyone. How are you? Well, again, my name is Jim Hirschman. I'm a sales manager for Signature Kitchen Suites, and I want to welcome you here this morning, and thank you for this opportunity as well. I walk around a lot when I talk, and I use my hands, so pay attention. It's funny, about 2 weeks ago, they called me, and they said, you have 3 minutes to get up and speak about your product, and I can either talk for 30 seconds or 30 minutes, okay? So 3 minutes is a problem. So I'm going to try to hit it hard. If I come up short, I apologize a little bit. But what I want to do is ask you to please come over to our booth. We're introducing some really, really awesome new products right now. The one that's going to hit you as soon as you walk in the booth is our new 48-inch wide French door refrigerator featuring dual ice control. So you have your standard ice and you also have your craft ball ice. If you're not familiar with the craft ball, that's kind of a phase now since the world loves bourbon. Since we locked our front doors, everybody needs a little brown liquor. So we're going to help you with that, okay? So we have this refrigerator that makes these beautiful round 90% clear balls, perfect for your drink. We've also designed it with you guys in mind because all the drawers hit right at the belt line. So they're going to carry right across on your countertops. Works beautifully. We're also featuring over there the only dual convertible double drawer system. So I have under counter refrigeration, which are dual convertible. So if you need fridge freezer or freezer freezer or fridge, it's there for you. Again, hits the belt line. They come naked, so you can dress them up with stainless steel or custom panels, which I know you guys like much better. You'll also see over there in our one and only kitchen, you'll see our 48-inch wide steam sous vide 48-inch that we've been pitching for a while now. Beautiful piece, works phenomenally. It works on the theory that not everything should be cooked the same way every time. Sometimes you want to steam your fish, okay? Sometimes you want to poach it. Sometimes you want to drop it in the sous vide. And sometimes you want to drop it on a griddle with 23,000 BTUs behind it and cook it that way. So we can do all of that for you guys. Your customers will love it. It's a lot to talk about. It's not just your mundane, it has this and this. Has a lot of things to talk about. We also have over there our styler cabinets. If you guys have been out to our showroom in California at all, we have these. We call it a styler. What it really is, it's a refresher, okay? Like if I were home and I had the suit on and I want to wear it the following day, I can take this jacket off, put it in the styler, hit a little refresh button. Takes about 20 minutes, and it will give you a nice little steam, shake off any loose lint, make it look nice and presentable for you the second day. We are giving those away exclusively to you guys here today, okay? So the reason I was delayed is they forgot that I needed these to bring over, okay? Fill this out. I think you have to post 3 times. You had a thought in your head.
No.
Okay.
Go ahead. I don't know.
Okay. We're giving away a steamed a styler today, once a day for all 3 days for you guys here. So fill these out. I brought a few with me. They're going to probably bring a few over. But if not, if you go to the information desk and tell you with DMM Talks, they will make sure that you get those. I think I'm just about at the end of my 3 minutes. I appreciate your time. Any questions while I'm standing here? Good question. I wrote it down for a reason. W2029. While the big signature kitchen suite sign hanging up there, what you'll also see there will be the LG and the Studio product, and we've just did a beautiful refresh on Studio. You may like that as well. So please go over. I'm going to be sitting here for a little while. If you have any questions, I'm going to decompress from a 15-minute walk and really nervous. I was 4 minutes late. But otherwise, we're good. And thank you so much for your attention. And have a great show. Thank you.
And the way the Styler giveaway works is fill those cards out, take them to the booth. Do check out the 48-inch side-by-side refrigerator because it's killing me. Why does that not make the Kraft ice, though? Because now I don't know what I want.
48 does. The 36 will in about 6-8 months.
Oh, never mind. Problem solved. Good. Fill those out. Drop them off at SKS and come back in another hour because we'll hand out another round of tickets and you can do the whole thing again. And this afternoon, most of you will be at Cabus Uncorked with our friends from Signature Kitchen Suite. Yet again. And another chance to win a Styler. So there's some shots at Stylers today. So come on in. But now, without further ado, we're going to talk business. We're going to talk everything you need to know about search engine optimization. I think it's a little bit of a neglected topic lately because we all got so gung-ho about social media and all the rest of it, but you get to take it away, Nicole Heimer of Brand and Glory.
Thank you. Glory and Brand.
That's okay.
You said my last name correctly, and that's like a small miracle. Yeah. Yes. Thank you so much, Veronica. Thank you for having me here. Seriously, much appreciated. So we are going to be talking about SEO, how to be found, simple search engine optimization for designers and brands. Oh, the clicker. Thank you. All right. So this is going to be, I would like to think, a pretty straightforward, practical, do this, do that kind of talk. Nice. But before we do that, I want to talk about the practical aspects of this and like why SEO, because just like anything, you know, it has to come out of your marketing budget, whether your budget is time or money, it has to come out of it. So why would you prioritize SEO? I'm going to try and convince you. First of all, my favorite reason, which is intent. Because unlike social media, which is awesome and has a really important place in your business, when someone is on Instagram, they are not necessarily searching for a kitchen designer. They are not necessarily looking, hello, for a product. However, when they are searching for kitchen designer Dallas, that is intent. When they are searching for how much does a marble countertop cost, that is intent. So there is something very powerful about search engine optimization, very purposeful, that you just don't get with even, you know, email marketing. Like, I love email marketing, but you don't get it with that. You don't get it with billboards on the side of the road. You don't even get it with a Super Bowl ad that costs $6 million for 30 seconds. That's how special search engine optimization is. It's also the gift that keeps on giving. So I'm not going to say that it's instant gratification like a paid ad, because it's not. You're going to have to put some time and some energy. It might be less than you think. It might be more than you think. It depends how competitive the search term is, right? Sometimes it's relatively easy. But, you know, I mean, we have a blog post from 2015. We just rebranded. We changed our domain name even, and it's back up on the first page in the second spot. And it's 7 years old. It's older than my youngest child. I should probably update it, but like, I mean, I spent 8 hours on that thing in 2015 and it still serves me well. Luann, we have to talk about the Transom Window blog post, which it's famous to some people, to a very niche crowd, but you know, that's a post that Luann threw together in, I think also 2015. This is a 2015 tribute talk. And it's still, they get calls at WindowWorks because of that blog post. So it can really stick. And finally, authority. This is something that came up, Claire Jefford, also here in the audience. Claire just, you know, and it's happened before that she's been contacted by brands who literally run searches using the kind of software that I'm actually going to show you today to find out, like, who's ranking for paint colors, who's ranking for this, who's ranking for that, because guess what? If you're ranking well for something, you have authority. You are an influencer in some ways, kind of like social media. You're getting in front of people. So, you know, she was offered, you know, the opportunity to, you know, do affiliate work with this company because of the fact that she ranks for all these search terms. So I'm going to quote from Gloria and Brandt. We have been working since 2011 with designers, kitchen designers, home builders, retailers, e-commerce, basically anything that has to do with the shelter industry. So today, what we're going to be talking about is, first, what needs to be in place. Or, none of it will work. Not to be threatening, but you need to have some basics in place. Two, we're going to decide on your dream search terms. We're going to, like, reach for the stars, you guys. And we're going to figure out what to do with them. We're going to figure out how to elevate your online reputation, because that's what offline search engine, that's what off-site search engine optimization is. There's on-website, and then there's off-site. And off-site is just elevating the reputation of your brand elsewhere off of your website. So, what does need to be in place first? It's the foundation. Let's talk about the basics first. So this is, we just have to have these things in place. It's non-negotiable. So your website has to be great on mobile. In 2015, again, 2015. Thank you. All right. So great on mobile. So in 2015, there was this thing in my industry known as mobile get-in, which is when Google announced with much fanfare and much, they gave you a lot of time to get it figured out, that you had to have a site that was good on mobile. So if we all recall, that wasn't the case in like 2014. Like your website was, it took a while. So basically what they said was, if your site is not good on mobile, if it's not responsive, right, that they would not show you your website in the results on a mobile phone. So it's been a while since that has happened. I'm sure that the vast majority of you, if not all of you, have mobile optimized websites. But I will say that every year when Google brings out new algorithms, there's always something about mobile optimization and mobile experience. It happens a lot. You need to test your site on a phone. You need to look at it, because the experience that people are having is important. If you have a pop-up that doesn't close properly on a phone, you have a problem. Google notices this stuff. So do your own testing. Next, no malware or security errors, obviously, right? But same thing, you need to go to your site. We've had it before where like Norton decides for some reason that your website is shady. We don't know. And you need to go, you'll see that warning. Someone will see that warning. And then you need to go to Norton and be like, hey, my website's fine. Here's a submission, and get that fixed. So you need to address this stuff. And then it needs to load fast. This one's a little more involved. There's no load fast button on the back end of your website. But I'll give you a couple of things to think about. Number one, if you have a site that is Squarespace, Wix, Weebly, something like that, you have no control over the servers. But if you have a WordPress site, you have control over where your website is hosted. So you have control over how fast it loads based on the quality of the server. So what I'm saying to you right now is you can't cheap out on your hosting. So a $5 a month GoDaddy account, not to single them out, but it's not going to serve you well. Those accounts are shared hosting. You have an IP address that you're sharing with God knows what, seriously, and they're overloaded. So they don't load quickly. Anecdotally, I can tell you a story about moving a website, not changing a thing about it, moving it from GoDaddy to Flywheel, which is what we use. We have an agency account, and the load time cut in half. No changes to the website. So your hosting matters. Number two, a little fancier, you can get what is called a CDN. This is a content delivery network. So if you're a client of ours, I don't even tell you guys this stuff, but like you have a CDN. Surprise. Congratulations. But if you're hosting your own website, it's an upgrade. So you're going to pay like $10 a month for that. And basically what it is it's like if you've heard of caching, the host is going to keep kind of like a frozen in time version of all of your pages or all the important ones, and then deliver that to your users instead of actually loading up the page. Whatever. We don't need to know how it works. The point is you can throw money at the problem. You can pay for that, and it will instantly speed up your site. Also, do not upload giant images. But you guys know that, right? Shrink your images first. Change the size of your images first. That's very important. That has a huge effect on how quickly they load. All right. So now we're going to spy. Yes. So I would say the easiest way to just shortcut this is you want them in kilobytes, not megabytes. Start with that. If you're looking in pixels, then whatever the width of your page is, but like you're probably not, you know, like not getting too, you know, go for like 1,000 pixels wide. You know, if it's like a full size blog post image or something. If we're talking about an image that is like the hero image, it's a full size image that's from edge to edge on the homepage of your website, you want to go larger, like 18, 2000, but only for those. Thank you. That's a great question. All right, so we want to start spying now. We want to find out, how are you being found? How are your competitors being found? Because it's easy to find out that information as well. And what happens when you Google your own business name? So we always recommend a tool called Uber Suggest. There is a free version of this, and there is a paid version. Everything I'm going to show you is the free version, or you can get a trial and do some of this work with a free trial. So you're going to go to Keyword Overview, and you're going to see things like this. So I'm using Christopher Peacock as an example. This is how many keywords he's ranking for. This is how much monthly traffic he's getting. This is his domain authority. It's a 1 to 100 scale. Being in that area, that's like a good domain authority for a small business, if that is the case. Larger, you're going to hope, you know, if you're national, if you're targeting national, you're going to want to hope to go higher. How many backlinks? How many links from other websites? If this is a paid account, we would see historical data, but this is, like I said, I'm showing you the free. And then we're seeing all the keyword terms that he's ranking for. So you can do this for yourself. You can see the top 10 words that you're ranking for, which is great information to have. You can see how many searches per month, that's the volume per month of human beings that are searching for this term. Your position, so number one on page one. And then the estimated number of visits that you're getting to your website per month based on this keyword term. It might be none, but don't be discouraged because there's nowhere to go from up, then up. So get that information, and then you can also see top pages. This is this, you know, like these are the pages that people are ending up on. Now with this example, these are all what we call branded searches. So this is all people being like, you know, I'm searching for Christopher Peacock. If they wanted to expand out and get more traffic from people who don't, who are searching for specific like types of kitchen design or kitchen design in the different areas where they have locations, they would have to like do that on purpose. They're not doing that on purpose right now, right? They're focusing on the branding. And this is what happens when you Google Christopher Peacock. All good, you know, nothing to be concerned about. But sometimes, I'll tell you a little story. We just built a house, and there's a kitchen in it, of course. And so we were given a kitchen designer to source the cabinetry, and I needed to get in touch with her because I just did. And so I Googled her name and the name of the company. And I can tell you that if you were in New Jersey, New York area, you would know the name of this company. It's like a big company with a lot of locations. So first result was what I was looking for. And then all the results after that for like a few pages were cheaters.org, uscheaters.net, findacheater.com. So it turns out that this woman was accused of trying to seduce someone's husband when she was doing a kitchen design for them. And now I know about this. And I know you're saying to yourself, like, oh, that lady, the accuser must be like crazy, right? There were receipts. There were screenshots of the kitchen design lady apologizing in an email. I saw all of that. Someone needs to know about this at this company. I am a human being. Obviously, I clicked on everything, clearly. I got my project coordinator involved. She's the one who found the screenshots. She was like, oh my God, there are screenshots. So the point is, like, it's not going to probably be like that, but you never know what you're going to find. And what they need to do is go to those websites and try and get that taken down. You know? I mean, that's obviously no good. So the last thing to prepare is to decide on your goals. Not to be, like, woo-woo about this, but, like, I want to be kind of like your SEO life coach here and just say, like, you know, you have to have dreams and you have to decide what those dreams are or you're never going to accomplish them. And it really is like that with search engine optimization. You have to do it on purpose. It's not magic. It doesn't just happen. So when you're deciding on these things, I'm going to give you kind of an order of priority. You can go location plus professional. So like Dallas kitchen designer, right? A lot of intent there. So this person who's searching for this is about to take action, right? So whatever location you are in, whatever service you provide, you can do location plus products, right? Nashville kitchen cabinets. This is also someone who is looking to buy something. You want to show up for that search term. You can go a detail plus a product. So antique gold cabinet hardware. And I want to tell you that when I was doing some quick keyword research to just come up with these examples, when I searched antique cabinet hardware without the gold, lower search volume, or no, it wasn't lower search volume. It was lower cost per click. So I want to mention that now. When you do this research using that same tool that I gave you before, there's going to be a cost per click. And it's not because you're going to be paying for this. We're doing search engine optimization. You're not paying for it. What that is telling you is Google is saying there is money behind this term. People spend money when they search for this term. So you want to look at that cost per click. Because when you see something like $7.42 per click, that's a good one. That's a good one. Like, look at that. And so antique gold cabinet hardware, when you're more specific, it has a higher cost per click. There's more money behind that. Because someone who's being more specific is more intent to buy. And honestly, I wouldn't have known that. But I know that from the data when I looked at it. You can also do descriptor plus service, navy blue kitchen design, modern boho kitchen design, something like that. Less intent with that. Less intent. So this is why we're moving down the priority list. And then questions, research. 14% of Google searches are in the form of a question. How much do marble countertops cost? How much does it cost to hire a kitchen designer? So what needs to happen on your website? We've done all this preparation. We've thought about it. We've started figuring it out. Now the question is, like, what do you actually have to do? Well, first you need to pick your two dream search terms. And what I'm going to ask you guys to do, you've looked at some options there. I'm going to ask you to turn to the person next to you and tell them what two search terms you're thinking about doing. Because I really do want you to pick two. So, and if you need to discuss it, discuss it. But go ahead. What are your dream search terms? Discuss. All right, guys. So I've just asked a couple of people what their terms are, and I want to talk about it. So, what? I'm sorry. What your terms were?
It was Ocean County Kitchen Design, where I
could
get more specific.
Okay. So, all right. We're back at it. Okay. Ocean County Kitchen Design. So I'm going to suggest to you that you switch that up to Ocean County Kitchen Designer. Because that is the difference between someone who might go to Home Depot and someone who's looking for a designer. Also, Ocean County Kitchen Designers. Those are both good search terms. Interesting with the county thing, that applies if you live in a suburban area sometimes. It depends, right? Like, if you're in a city, it's going to be the city. If you're in a suburban area, it might be by county. You know, you can, almost without doing keyword research, you know how you search things. You know, you live in that area, probably, so you know. So I would go with that. And Joan, what did you say? Yeah. Okay. So Joan said first you said kitchen design, interior design, New Jersey. Yeah. So New Jersey. What you'll find if you do research like that is that people don't tend to search New Jersey. Like, would you search New Jersey if you were looking for a professional? You would look for your area, exactly. Exactly. So that's what you have to keep in mind. It's how you, like, think about how you search. People don't search New Jersey. Maybe Rhode Island, I don't know. Someplace, like, super small like that, I have no idea. But, like, it's not going to usually be by state. Think about how you search things, and that's what you're going to want to do, whether it's by county, by city, whatever it might be. And I'm sorry, what was yours? You do lash. Okay, so let's talk about that. Luxury kitchens, she works nationally, right? So if you are looking to rank nationally, I'm going to say you're going to have to be a lot more specific than luxury kitchens. If you are looking to rank nationally, you're going to want a niche like crazy. Because I mean, you're not gonna rank for luxury kitchens realistically. That would be so hard, you know. That's like trying to rank for interior designer or kitchen designer, full stop. You don't even want to, it wouldn't even be useful to you, you know? So I would think hard about your branding and decide how you can set yourself apart with your branding if you work nationally, and then look for search terms that are related to that. The other thing I would say is, even if you work nationally, do you have a large percentage of your clients that are local? Yes. So then if you're not ranking locally, I would focus on that first and then expand out from there. You might be ranking locally. You're doing fine locally. Yeah. So I would start thinking about like how you can niche yourself and start. I mean, so luxury kitchen design is just too broad, you know? It's just too broad. It's, you know, what about luxury kitchen design? Is there a certain style that you work in? You know, like, what are you known for?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So you guys hopefully have two terms. Google those terms. You can do that later. Google them. What kind of content do you see? If it's wall-to-wall, Better House and Garden and, HGTV and, like, really high authority domain names, you're going to have a harder time getting to that first page, because competing with like those really high authority websites is more difficult. But if you see even one website that you've never heard of, you've got a shot, you know? You can look to see the numbers on how competitive it is, but that's one quick way to do it. The other thing I want you to look for is the kind of content that's ranking. And I know this is going to sound kind of silly and literal, but if you are, let's say you're doing like something that's more of a research post and it's, or an inspiration, like with a lot of something about style, and it's like 30 something, blah, 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 do 40, do 50, you know, like what do you click on? You click on the thing with the most. You click on the thing with the greatest, the most, the best, the fastest, the strongest. So you need to make sure that whatever content you're creating is better, faster, stronger, smarter. I mean, in the end, that's what we're doing here. So you're going to create the content, one page for each dream term. If you have a lot of different pages that are kind of about the same thing, if you have like a part one and two or something like that, combine them. One term, one page. And we'll talk about kinds of pages. Combine them. Consolidate. Always consolidate. These can be location pages. If there's one thing that I want you to take away from this, it's the power of location pages. So if you're looking to rank for, like we said, you know, Ocean County kitchen designer, a location, you might optimize your homepage for that, right? That's a good one. But let's say you also want to show up for the county next to yours and you're not physically located there. That's harder, right? That's why you need a location page. A location page is not meant to be found for the average person who's on your website. You're not linking to it from the top navigation. This is something that is a landing page. So you're going to create it to be found in search. You can do it for towns that you're not in. You can do it for counties that you're not in, neighborhoods, like services, all the different things. Create as many as you want. The content has to be different. You can't have repetitive content on them. Interior design in San Juan, Puerto Rico. This is Juliet Calaf, a client of ours. So she didn't want to optimize her homepage for Puerto Rico interior designer because she also works nationally and she wanted to keep it more broad there from a branding perspective. So we did a location page for her. And there she is, you know, right under our best friend house. And then we have service pages. So this is Parkway Window Works. They're in Rochester. And so this is, you know, kind of a service slash product the way it is with some window treatment stuff. Custom window treatment hardware. She has, draperies and valances, shades and shutters, motorization, custom soft goods. And there she is. Hardware. And then also her custom draperies and valances shows up and it has like a preview image on it. Yes.
Is our search term... is that like a string in this one page?
Is it a string?
Is there like the search term that you were saying we mm-hmm. want? Does that have to go on this new landing page as well?
It has to, yes. We'll talk about where to put it. Yes. Yes. So these are optimized for these terms, the ones that are showing up. This is a client of ours, Manuela Marrera, and so she has these two candles that she has on her website, which are more like just a added value thing. Like she had no intention of actually ranking for them. It's more like for clients and, you know, just it's a branding thing. But just last week, we noticed that she was showing up on the fifth page. So like no one's finding it, right? But just the other day, I was like, you know what? It's showing up for white tea candle. Let's actually try optimizing this for white tea candle instead of lavender white tea candle. And let's just see what happens. So, you know, feel free to check in with me. But like, this is something that it's an experiment. Let's see. You know, there are things that we can do. We'll talk about those things. Blog posts. This is another client, Fuller Interiors. They are on the main line. This is a blog post that we did for them, Philadelphia Mainline Architects, because guess what? Same target client. Somebody who's looking for an architect, we want to get in front of them. So we did a post for them, our five favorite. It's very easy to put a post like this together. It's like not a lot of writing content. You know, you're just assembling it. And now, there they are. Philadelphia Mainline Architects, our five favorites. This is, it's just great because it's good for building relationships. I mean, there's a lot of benefits to doing a post like that. So now you want to optimize the post, but keep it classy. And what I mean by that is don't make it spammy, don't overdo it. So here's the part where we're going to get into the nitty gritty. Now you can get this information anywhere, so I'm not going to like belabor the point here. And I have actually a guide, a blog optimization guide that you guys can download. I'll give you the information for that. That goes through all of this stuff. It's actually the thing you're seeing in here. But the main gist of it is you need to have your keywords all over the joint, but in a way that feels organic because human beings are your target, you know? So, oops, hold on. Page title, headings, text. So, page title, headings, text, file names. Rename your files before you upload them to describe the image and to include your keywords. Meta title, so this is on the back end of any, whatever you're using, Squarespace, WordPress, doesn't matter. There's a place for you to put this in here, this information. This looks like a search result, right? So you're able to kind of say like, hey, Google, this is what we want to show. They don't have to. They don't always do it. But this is what we want to show. So you put that in there. You want to put your keywords in there. And then the description here, the purpose of this is to get them to click through. It doesn't actually influence how it ranks. But if people click through a lot, then Google is going to rank you higher. So this is copywriting. This is convincing them that they want to click through. And then alt tags. So this is basically like, you'll see it on your back end of your website if you haven't looked. When you upload an image, you have the opportunity to put an alt tag, which is a description of what's in the image because search engines can't see. Also, screen readers use this, you know, for blind people. Also, if an image doesn't load, it shows it instead. There are a lot of reasons for alt tags. It makes it ADA compliant. It's one of those things. So it's important to use alt tags. All right. So all of that. Yada, yada, yada. Get someone to do it for you. Give them the guide that I'm going to give you and just like have them do it. Have a virtual assistant do it. You don't need to do that stuff yourself. It's the talent is the writing of the content, whether that's you or someone else. That's the hard part. And then you want to do things to make the situation better. Okay. So if you have a piece of content right now that you're like, I just wish it's not doing anything. Like, I think it's good. I think this is a good page. It's fulfilling all the requirements that you just went through. Like, what's the problem? You need to increase dwell time. You want to like throw some stuff at it, right? So you want to make sure it's skimmable content. You want to make sure that someone doesn't hit the page and go, ah, because they see like a block of text and it's like, you know when that happens and you're like, I am not doing this. So you don't want to do that to them. Make it skimmable. Images, headings, all that stuff. Video. Also Luann University, video. So video is going to increase dwell time. It's going to increase the amount of time that someone is on a page, which is good. Google notices when people spend more time on your page. So you want to increase the dwell time. It's going to do a lot for you. Video, you know, embed it on YouTube first and then embed it, upload it to YouTube and then embed it on your site from YouTube. You want to always use Google products as much as possible to like kiss Google's, like, Google, I love you. You want to do that. Mobile testing. This goes back to what we were talking about. Make sure it's good because that really matters. That could be harming your dwell time because if people are having a bad experience. Yes, John. How long should video be? Yeah. I mean, so the standard advice would be like keep it short because people have no attention span. But doesn't it just depend on like the topic? Yeah. Yeah. So I could say like under 2 minutes, but like it's hard to say that because it really depends on what the topic is. Yeah. Link to and from other pages. This is huge. Like we had a piece of content that was like, we wanted to like get it to move for a client. And all we did was go in and link to it from a bunch of pages on the website. And it started moving. like, this matters. You're telling Google and humans, because then humans can get to it more easily. You're telling everybody that this page is important by linking to it. Link to it from your homepage in a way that's organic. Link to it from other blog posts. Link to other blog posts from it. Like, all those things. Interlinking is a major part of search engine optimization. And finally, add schema markup. And I know that sounds terrifying, but there's an easy solution, which is if you use the Yoast SEO plugin. Does anybody know the Yoast plugin? Anyone? Yes, she's nodding. I have one person. Yeah, it's like the go-to plugin for WordPress for search engine optimization. And it actually has, you know, functionality on it that you can add like blocks of FAQs. Just use their FAQs in your blocks on a blog post. Use their how-to functionality, and it wraps it in schema markup, which tells Google, this is an FAQ. This is an FAQ question. This is an FAQ answer. And then guess what could happen? You could show up. You know the search results at the top? I should have taken a screenshot. Those search results at the top where it's like the questions that are just by themselves. Like, that would be like being famous, right? Yeah. That could be you. So like, and how to, same thing. So it pulls that information. That's how you end up in those sort of highlighted areas of a search result. Off the website. Pick your lowest hanging fruit right away. If you don't have a Google business page, if it is not optimized for each location that you have, get on it, because that's how you show up in the local map pack. And when I say optimize it, Luann, oh yeah, this is Luann's company, WindowWorks. They have an excellent, excellent Google business page. They have 24 Google reviews. People like that. Really important. You want to send that as part of your process for your closeout of your projects. They have their business hours. They have products shown. They have a message from WindowWorks, the description. They have posted a piece of content. Post every blog post, every article, just post content, post events, anything like that on your Google profile. They've got it all. And that's what you want. You want to take every opportunity that they're giving you. Every single one. Make it part of your process to post links on your Google business page. And then standard protocol, if you were to hire an SEO company, would be to fix your name, address, phone number situation. It's called citations. And so what this means is that you need to have, now listen, if you're WindowWorks and you've been in business for 40 years and you've been at the same location pretty much the whole time, yeah, you're probably fine. Like, you probably have no inconsistencies in all of these different indexes as far as like the name of your business and where you're located. But if you're like me and you just switched your business name, like we're in the middle of dealing with this right now, you've got inconsistency all over the place. If you don't have a clear address, like if you're using your home office, but you've been kind of like wishy-washy about putting it on the internet, and I would recommend that you do, if you can stomach it, I would recommend that you do, because without name, address, phone number, you can't have a consistent name, address, phone number. You're going to have a hard time with local search. You just are. It's going to be a lot more challenging. You need an address. It can be your home office, but you need an address. So you're going to want to go, you can use, there are services like Moz Local that will do this for you. That's reasonable to do that. You can do it manually. You can have someone who works for you, ideally, go through and just use Moz Local for like a free search to see like where, how you're showing up, and then use the search that they give you, the results, to just bam, bam through and get everything consistent. You're going to see things like Hot Frog, whatever that is. Like, it's like, there's weird stuff in there. That you're like, how is this important? But just trust the process and make sure that you're consistent. Google likes brands. So mentions and links, print ads. Print ads are good for search engine optimization. And the reason is because when you send people to your website, when they search your business name, that's branded search, like we saw with Christopher Peacock. So a print ad is good for your business because it's sending traffic and people are hopefully staying on the website. Press is amazing. Like, PR people are doing God's work with the backlinks. Because if you're getting a link from a good publication that's established, Google loves that. All of this stuff is important. Did you just raise your hand? Yeah, no. Okay. Brands are the solution, not the problem. Brands are how you sort out the cesspool. So this is the ex-CEO of Google, Eric Schmidt. Right from the horse's mouth. Google wants you to be a brand. Google wants you to exist. You know, Google wants to see a link from your local chamber of commerce. You know, Google wants to see a link from the KBiz website. all of that stuff. They want to know that you are real and you exist offline. But isn't there some techie thing I can do on the back end? How many times have I had this question from clients where they're like, isn't there, can we just do the thing? And the answer is no. Because human beings are searching for an answer to a question, and you're providing that answer on a page, on a single page, on a result. In the end, what we're talking about is creating an answer to a question, a solution, something like that. You can't get around it. In 2012, sure, you could put like keywords, a list of keywords on the back end of your page and be like, this page is about that. And Google would be like, cool, sure, and believe you. People were putting white text on white backgrounds to dump keywords onto a page. Google is too smart for that. It's not happening. It has to be good quality stuff. In the end, that's what it comes down to. I created an amazing page, a groundbreaking article. Why is nothing happening? Try the things that I talked about. Try amping it up. Try making it better. All the stuff that we talked about. But remember that your domain authority plays a huge role in this. So if you are well established and you've been around for 20 years and you've had the same domain name, you're going to have a much easier time with this than if you are a brand new domain name that you just bought it, you just started your business. It's not that you shouldn't do this stuff. Do it, because you have no chance until you do this stuff. But just be realistic about how long it's going to take if you don't have a well-established, high reputation, high authority website. Do it. But just know you're going to need to put some time and effort in. What if I don't have the time or the team or the money? Well, then it won't happen. I mean, it's just like anything else with marketing. It's just not magic. You have to decide, I would like to make this a priority. I would like to make the decision to do this and take action. And that's that. But like we said, there are a lot of rewards. Can I take this older page and just make it better? Yes. Here's the good news. Yes, you can. So if you have some older page, some older piece of content that, you know, like you wish it was doing something for you, yes. If you have a blog post, like Luann could go into the famous transom window. Yes, take a bow. The transom window blog post. And she could, although I would be afraid for you to touch it. Yeah. Yeah. Never mind on that one. But if it's like, let's say it's on the second page of the search results, go in there and make it better. Go in there and add on to it. If you are, if you have a location page already, but it's not really working, go fluff it up. Not fluff. Put some meat in it. Make it good. You know, like do that. If you have two blog posts and it's like part one and part two of a thing, no, combine them. Combine them and optimize them. And then I would go so far as to say, if you have an old blog post and you update it, new date, new publish date, because Google wants to see a new publish date. So keep that in mind. If you're going to update an old blog post that like was doing well and isn't now, new date, because it's new. You made it new. And Google sees when the publish date is. To get results, like I said, you have to be purposeful. You have to choose your two terms, and you have to go for it. And go for it in a big way with intent. Good content wins, and you cannot fool Google. Do not even try. You cannot fool them. They are too smart. It has to be that you are creating content that human beings will benefit from. And that could mean they will benefit from finding the right kitchen designer, or it could mean that they'll benefit from finding the right answer to a question. But either way, the intent has to be there. For the blog optimization guide that I mentioned, you can text KBiz22 to this phone number, 773-770-4377. Or you can go to our website and go to the resources. It's there as well.